Drawing me both, drawing this still.
I wonder if you want to be that.
God love you for being here. Any questions?
What about this threat of the governor's, which his aides are telling us privately, he's really serious this time.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's been conveyed to you.
Yeah, it has been.
So he vetoes, let's hypothetically, he vetoes the budget. You're back here in a couple of days to try and over it.
Well, that's a very good question. I've been told that they are prepared to override if the budget has been vetoed by the governor. You know, you only know when it happens whether or not it will. But, I talked to the governor this morning. He called about his budget reform amendment, and he had given us a letter earlier today that, or yesterday, whenever we were, that he said he needed absolutely these three conditions. We were able to comply with two of them, and I'm talking about Republicans and Democrats. And I think it's a pretty good compromise. He could certainly, with pride, go around California and tell his constituents that he fought hard and got a very good rainy day fund, certainly far superior to the one that he did 4 years ago. So in sum, it would be a real, I think it'd be a real shame, and it would serve no purpose for him not to claim victory. And I told him, I'm certainly not going to disagree. If you say this is good for the state, I believe it is. I mean, I do think Californians are tired of this up and down that we have. We need a complete overhaul of our system, but as a start, we should be saving more money than we do right now, and that's what this does. And so I thought it was a pretty good deal. It is about compromise. You know, there's no one in this business says my way or the highway. This is the art of compromise, what's possible. What we did today was what's possible. And it's not a bad day's work. And considering that was the most important thing to the governor, I hope he will reconsider and, in fact, will sign the budget and sign the amendment. And then everybody can move on with their lives. Could be. I have a hard time understanding my motivation half the time, so it could well be. All I can say is that when the four leaders got together and after the governor told us that he could not produce the votes for a tax increase, which was his preference, I told him that we couldn't go on any longer this way. Too many innocent people were getting hurt. And I was getting weary of having my staff answer a phone with a crying woman who said that her daycare center just closed. She can't go to work. I run into people in my district in Oakland when I sneak home who are just miserable. And there are no winners in this. They're just losers. And the people who really are losing are the ones that Democrats came up here to protect. So it had to come down to an ending, and I think the four leaders did as well as we could. A lot of the bills that we were asked to support in return for consideration didn't fare very well, so no harm, no gain.
Those bills, were they part of a deal, or was it?
No. The understanding was that there were some issues that were important to Republican members, and all we said was they would see the light of day, and there were no guarantees beyond that because we don't do things like that.
What was your objection to the third item?
Well, it's first of all, if you could find 10 people in California could tell the difference between what he did and what we did, or what he wanted and what we did, I'd give you a lot, and you'll probably take me up on it. But mindful of the fact that we haven't been paid in half a century, what he wanted to do was to have make it more difficult to extract money that goes into the rainy day fund. Our position was, if we're going to be in lean times, knocking out COLAs for people who are servants of the state, teachers in the classroom, state workers. We're not, you know, we want to be able to restore some of that. Otherwise, all you're doing is shrinking government. And there are those who really want to make it very small and, you know, not have government doing the things that we believe it should be doing. So we weren't going to concede on that. That's all.
What, do you think that for your successors in the next legislature, the budget is going to be as difficult next year?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think if they're not drinking hard liquor by now, they'll start. I certainly have. You know, it gets you where you want to go a lot faster than even California wine. Yeah, let's be clear. All we've done is roll the problem over to the next legislature, not to the next governor, but Arnold Schwarzenegger will have to deal with it then. We have borrowed all the money that we could from the taxpayers of California, so that's not going to be available next year. I guess they could go and borrow from the cities and the counties and the road fund, which is what we protected this year because we didn't think that we should be eating our seed corn that way. But you know, if the lottery gets on the ballot, and if it doesn't pass, we start next year with about an $8 billion hole. And there's just no way to fill that without a revenue. There's absolutely no way. Now, the good news is it's not an election year. The bad news is you got 25 new people in the assembly who, as you know, when you first get elected, you're the smartest people on the block. And so I think it's going to be very, very difficult to move beyond where we were this year. And I don't know how, frankly, I was asked, well, what would you do? And I'm termed out. I'm going to do my part. I'm leaving.
So, why were you unable to take up the prison repeal bill today? Does this mean we're going to go through with the contempt hearing?
Republicans were not prepared to vote for the bill. It was there were a couple of problems that they had. One is they don't think the receiver needs as much money as he's asking for. I would not make that claim since he's running the prisons and I'm not. But that was one. And then they wanted to, frankly, roll back some of the reforms that the governor and Democrats agreed as part of the rehabilitation part of corrections. And it was one thing we felt to do something if they were...
No peaker plan.
Yeah, don't tell Batten.
Don't tell Batten.
Just kidding about drinking, Jenny. We didn't feel that it was the right thing to do to use the budget to repeal laws that have already been passed. So they decided they had two choices, either to support this and we get it out or that we would just not bring them up at all, and they chose the latter. The governor can bring us back in special session if he chooses to. People get really bored. I guess I could bring them back on my own. Probably not. But... that was the reason for it. You know, I think we've been pretty cavalier all year long, the way some of my colleagues have treated the federal court involved with the prisons. And but, you know, they think that somehow, even though you've got a three-court panel breathing down your necks, that we can stand up because we're senators.
Senator, could you just talk quickly about the fact that the impasse lasted more than 10 weeks? There's some people who thought this was a foregone conclusion from the beginning. You'd never get Republicans up on those, in which case, why not have agreed to the deal you agreed to 10 weeks ago? I guess you thought you really could get the votes.
No, I just love doing this, man. I didn't want to let go of it. I'll tell you why. The governor said repeatedly he would have the votes for a tax increase. And until it became patently obvious to him what was obvious to me for quite a while, then I said that's the end of it. But he thought he could get, he was told that if he did certain things, certain Republicans would vote for his budget. You know, I've been around long enough to know that he was way off base on that. But some people convinced him. And I knew some of the people they were talking about would never, ever vote for a tax increase. It's like religion for them. So I think the governor just got taken down the path. And the very Republicans that he was relying upon after WOW were gleeful over the fact that they stood him up.
Anything else?
Does that give you the fact that they did stand him up bolster your belief that they might vote for
There ain't much love lost there. And to me, I think you should always approach these matters as policy matters. If you let the politics or your personal feelings get in the way, you usually make mistakes that end up hurting other people, not yourself. Having said that, there's a lot of animus going around right now. You know, not from us. I mean, we've been, I'm upset with some of the things that we had to do, and I am very upset that the governor had no ability to get a vote. But there's a lot of bad blood in the Republican caucuses right now as it relates to the governor. They've told me, I'm sure they'd tell you. And so if there was ever a time for somebody spoiling for a veto override, it's now.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'll just take a few of these with me. Sorry we kept you up so late.